A very, very warm welcome to all of you. If it's your first time here, lovely to have you with us. If it's your thousandth time here, you're very welcome too. Great to see you all. Let me just read a verse from Psalm 9, a couple of verses from Psalm 9 right at the start of our service this morning. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Well, we're going to sing a song right at the beginning of our service that is about praising God and about bringing him all the glory. So when the music starts, we'll stand and we'll sing together. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. But before that, we're just going to have just a short time of quiet, an opportunity for you to pray yourselves. Maybe you want to pray in your heart to help, that God will help you to worship him this morning. Might be that you want to pray and ask God to help you for a sense of calm or a sense of peace. Maybe you've got an awful lot going on at the moment. Maybe you want to pray in your heart as a prayer of confession. Or maybe you don't really know God at all. You think, I'm interested to know what he's about. Or maybe in just these few moments you can pray that God would really reveal himself to you this morning. So let's have a time of quiet. And then in just a few moments I'll pray. Lord God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to join together freely and to worship you. But Lord, I pray for your help in doing that. Lord, that we would worship. Because Lord, if we're honest with ourselves, Lord, we know that so often we go astray in our minds. Lord, so often we're so focused on us, on our lives. So often we can come with the wrong attitude. And so, Lord, I pray for your power and your help to help us to truly worship you this morning. Lord, I pray that this morning may be about you. And I pray that you'd forgive us for the times when it isn't. Lord, I thank you that we can know you individually. Lord, that when we go away from this place, Lord, we don't have to say goodbye to you, as it were. But Lord, that you are with us every day. Lord, at work or wherever we are, at home, in the hospital, in the car. Lord, wherever we are, you are with us. And yet, Lord, we thank you for the special privilege of being able to come together as a church, to join together, to be your temple, your house, as it were, as we join together. And we thank you for that and for the blessing that is. And I pray that that be a real blessing to all of us here this morning. And that you bless those watching online as well, that they too may experience some of the blessing of worshipping you together. So Lord, I pray that your name will be lifted up this morning in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as many of you know, this is the last Sunday before John, our pastor, heads off on his sabbatical. Tomorrow morning, I believe you head off. That's right, isn't it? There is a prayer letter in the entrance hall. Many of you will have received it in the bulletin. If you don't get a bulletin, by the way, and you'd like to, do let one of us know and we can add you to the list. It sort of gives information for what's going on. But yeah, so there is a prayer letter in the entrance hall. If you haven't got one, do take one of those. Pray for John. We will be praying for you and Esther later. We'll very much miss you. And we're trusting it's a very special time away of real blessing and growth for you and refreshment and many other things. Well, we're looking forward to John preaching for us a little bit later this morning. And his message comes from Isaiah 55. So we're going to read Isaiah 55 now. Isaiah chapter 55, it's on the screen as well. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live. And I'll make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that you did not know, you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, and of the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Well, John will be speaking on that a bit later, and there's a couple of other readings as well, a couple of short readings that we'll be getting to later. But before that, we're going to sing All I Once Held Dear. It's a song that brings back strong memories for me of being on Crowborough Camp. Many of you would have sung it on camp as well. This is the chorus. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. So we're going to sing this, and then afterwards James Russell is going to come up and do the children's talk.
Good morning. It's lovely to see you all. I'm going to start with a true story, okay? So last Saturday, I had to take my daughter, Beth, back to university. And before we left, I thought, oh, I better put some squirty stuff in my window wiper thing, you know. I'm not very technically minded when it comes to cars. I don't know what any of it means, right? So I popped the lid, whatever it is, at the front, yeah. And then I pop the little cap thing, and I pour in the blue liquid, bloop, 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 bloop. And then I put the little arm down, and I shut the lid. There is a technical, what's the technical name for the lid on the front of a car? A bonnet, that's it. So I shut the lid, bonnet, yeah. And then I get in the car, and it's all packed with Beth's stuff, right? And I'm like, let's go. And then the bonnet lid is going, and I'm like, that don't look right. I think that's meant to stay down, right? So I'm driving down the road, and I'm like, So I get down the road, and I pull over on a lay-by, and I lift it up. Looks all right. Nothing there, apart from the engine. So I drop the lid, bonnet, it won't shut. I'm like, well, this isn't right. So I'm pushing it, I'm slamming it, I'm pushing it, and it won't stay down. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's broke. I've broken it, right? Quiet. Yellow card. I'm thinking, crikey, it's broke. What am I going to do? So we go home. So I'm thinking, what can I do? I don't know anything about cars. I don't know who to phone. I don't know how I'm going to get it to stay down. So I'm thinking, duct tape, will that hold it? I've got a long way to go. So what do I do? What do we do in times of trouble like this? We turn to Doctor Who. Google. Right? So I turn to Dr. Google, lid on car won't stay down, right? Up it comes. And I didn't know this, there's a catch. There's like a little catch around a hole, and it comes across like that. And then when you pull a little lever inside, it goes, and it opens, and your bonnet comes up. And then when you let the lever go, it goes, and there's like a catch that covers the hole. And then when you put it down, this part of the bonnet goes in, and it holds it. So I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, I've got no catch. It must be broke. So I go back to Dr. Google, and someone said, what you need to do is get some spurty stuff, WD-40, and spray it around the hole, yeah? And then spray it underneath where the spring is, and then go in and pull the lever and keep spraying. So I've got poor Beth in the car going like this, and I'm spraying, and she's pulling, and I'm spraying, and she's pulling. And eventually this little bit goes, boop! And I'm like, oh, I fixed it! I'm now a fully qualified mechanic. So I can fix any car now, right? WD-40, a bit of squirt and a bit of pulling. Anyway, so I stood there thinking, you know what, this reminds me a lot about us, okay? This makes me think of us. Because we aren't a bonnet catch, okay, but we are broken. Now, I don't mean, oh, look, we're broken, my arm's not working, look, it's a bit wobbly today. We are genuinely broken. Why are we broken, you think? Well, we are because we sin. We sin, we do wrong things, we say wrong things, we do wrong things. Quite often, I don't know about you, but I'm a bit guilty of this. We don't listen to our parents, we ignore them. Tidy a room, Mum, I left home 30 years ago, I'm not tidying my room. But she still phones me up to make sure I'm tidying my room, right? But we ignore our parents, we don't do our homework, we don't do the right things in life. We make, more than not, we make bad choices. We are that bonnet catch, we are the catch. We are broken, just like that. But we can't go on Dr. Google and go, Dr. Google, I'm broken, how can you fix me? And they go, oh, get a can of WD-40 and your oldest daughter to pull a lever and spray. We can only be fixed by Jesus. Our sin and our faults and our brokenness can only be fixed by him. We cannot just spray ourselves and go, we're done now, we're perfect. We need to turn to Jesus and ask him for forgiveness. We need to repent all our wrongs. We need Jesus, like my bonnet catch needed that WD-40. We need him in our lives. And if we turn to him and say, I'm broken, fix me, I want to repent my sin. I want to do good. I want to live for you. I want a life of joy, of peace, of meaning, of love. A life where I can look forward to everlasting peace one day. That can't be fixed with Dr. Google. We need Jesus in our lives. So just like my bonnet catch, I want you guys to imagine that you are the bonnet catch. That you are the broken piece. And I want you guys to turn to Jesus and ask forgiveness. I want you to be fixed. I would love it if all of you could come to him and say to him, please fix me. I am a broken machine. Now, I don't know about you, but it sounds pretty wonderful, okay? And when we turn to Jesus like that, our life has purpose, it has meaning, it has joy, it has love, it has grace. Our sins and our troubles and our problems all get taken away. And we get to look forward to a life of everlasting glory one day. So when you go back to your seats, I want you to sit and think about the bonnet catch, how you are my bonnet catch, and how you can be fixed, but not by Dr. Google. You can only be fixed by Jesus. And it would be a real blessing if we could fix you. Wouldn't that be amazing? Thank you very much for listening. You can go back. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Well, we're going to pray now, so let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, your word does reveal to us that we are all broken. And Lord, I pray that we would realize that if we haven't already. And yet, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that that is not the end of the story, but that there is hope. That because of Jesus, we can have all our brokenness dealt with, all our sin taken away, all our guilt and shame dealt with. And that is such good news. And I thank you that there are so many of us here this morning who can say, praise God, because he's fixed me through Jesus Christ and him alone. And I pray that each one of us may know that. And Lord, I pray for those children. I thank you, Lord, that when Jesus was here, he said, let the children come to me. Lord, he loved children, had that right and pure love for children. And I pray that you bless the children now as they think about that message. And that it would impact them as they go through the week. Lord, we thank you so much that we can come and we can pray to you. And Lord, I particularly want to commit into your hands now John and Esther. Lord, I thank you so much for their service towards us over so many years. Lord, I thank you for how they make it so clear that it is not about them, but it is about you, their God. Lord, I thank you for their faithful, loving, humble care. And Lord, for what they so often do that is so often unseen. But Lord, we thank you for their faithful service amongst us. And Lord, we thank you that they are not the ultimate shepherds. Lord, you are the good shepherd. Lord, you are the ultimate shepherd. And Lord, you never slumber or sleep, as the psalm says. Lord, you are the one that empowers us to live for you. You are the one that, who has won the victory over sin and death. And Lord, you will reign with your church over the new creation. And we thank you for that. And Lord, that gives us confidence as they go away, Lord, that you are not going away. Lord, that you are not leaving us, but Lord, that you can be with them and remain with us too, and we praise you for that. And Lord, we place ourselves into your hands for these coming months. Lord, we pray that you would help us. We pray that you would protect us. We pray that you would guide us. We pray that you would strengthen us and bless us, that we may become more like you as individuals and as a church. And that those around us, those in our locality, those in our workplaces, may come to know you. Lord, we pray that you would refresh John and Esther physically and mentally and emotionally and especially spiritually. Lord, we pray that their time away would be thought-provoking. Lord, that when they come back, Lord, that they would be ready. And that there'd be a real blessing to the church as well as they come back refreshed, but also having had so much input from other people and conferences and all those things. Lord, I pray as well, Lord, that you would give them wisdom in helping and caring for John's dad and his brother. Lord, I pray that you bless them in that. And Lord, in all the different aspects of the sabbatical, Lord, we commit these things into your hands and pray that you'd richly bless them. Lord, we thank you so much for the different opportunities we have, even this week as a church, to share the good news about Jesus. Lord, even just this week, Lord, we're sharing the good news of you in church, in schools, in prisons, in residential homes and care homes. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your word is powerful. Lord, in fact, it describes the gospel as being like dynamite. And so, Lord, I pray that we would have a real confidence, Lord, as we either may be involved in speaking or maybe as we pray for those who are speaking. Lord, I pray that we would have that confidence that there is a sort of dynamite of the gospel going out. There's the power to transform lives. So, Lord, we pray that it would be effective and powerful. Lord, we thank you that you care about us as individuals too. And so, Lord, we pray especially for Philip Tutor and Hillary in hospital. Lord, we miss them being here. We pray that you'd be with them. Lord, that you would heal them. You'd speak to them. And Lord, we thank you for those here that make such an effort to care for them and to share your love with them whenever they meet up. Lord, I pray for others who have concerns too. Lord, we know that in a congregation this side, doubtless there are many who have very real fears, very real anxieties, maybe are feeling very low, maybe very stressed. Lord, I thank you that you know everything about us. Lord, I thank you for what David said in Psalm 31, that even though he was in such distress and trouble, yet he could say, I trust in you. You are my God. My times are in your hand. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to say that this morning. Lord, whether we're currently enjoying the good times or whether we feel like we're in the depths, Lord, I pray that we would know that our times are in your hands and that we would place them there. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us as we listen to your word. As John explains it to us shortly, Lord, I pray that you give us ears to hear, that we'll be ready to listen, to understand it, and to apply it to our lives. Lord, help us, I pray, in your power, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm just going to read just a couple of short New Testament readings that link in with what John's saying. First one's in John chapter 6, verses 35 to 37. It'll be on the screen again. So John chapter 6, verses 35 to 37. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And then John chapter 7, and verses 37 to 39. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, in just a moment John's going to come up and speak, but before that we're going to sing a song that very much links in with the invitation that he'll be talking about, Come to the Waters. So let's stand and sing once more.
Thank you. So it's my last message here for a while. So I was wondering what it should be on. Perhaps you were wondering what it might be on. And in thinking about it, I decided to end on a note of invitation. I wanted to leave with you on a note of invitation. And my prayer has been that God might use it in our hearts, in your heart, as we do so. You'll see it in the title we've got for this morning, Come, Come, Come. And you'll see it in the first verse of Isaiah 55, where we are this morning. It's there four times in that verse in the ESV, three times actually in the original. The first come is more of a ho, but here, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's a good word, isn't it? Come. I like the word come. Sort of has a link with the word welcome. Another nice word, come and welcome. When you're told to come, you are invited, perhaps to go to a celebration or a special event, or you're told to come round to a friend's house and you want to go, or you're told to come and join somebody at the beach to be together. It's a word of invitation, come. The message is not keep out. The message is not stay away. The message is not wait. The message is not you, but come. Not talking here about physical movement. When you come somewhere, often we actually literally go. But we're not talking here about some religious pilgrimage. We're not talking here about coming to a church service, though that hopefully will help you a lot. We're talking about a movement of the heart, not the feet. We're talking about the genuine prayer of faith in need, coming. We're talking about coming to God. It's a message here from God to come to Him. It points us to what we can do because He has sent Jesus into the world so that we might come to Him through Jesus. Maybe you've heard of the great Christian classic, Pilgrim's Progress. It was written by a man called John Bunyan, and he wrote another book which has a tremendous title. It is Come and Welcome to Jesus Christ. Come and Welcome to Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're thinking of this morning. We're looking at this invitation in Isaiah 55. We're thinking it in terms of what God has done in sending Jesus and that we may come to Him through Jesus. So my question at the outset is, have you come to God? Have you come to God? Realise that in a congregation like this, and those watching online, many will have done already, and I hope it will be encouraging and refreshing for you to be on this topic this morning. But also realise that there will be some who won't have come to God in their hearts, perhaps for a mixture of reasons. There might be some listening online who haven't come to God. There might be some who listen afterwards who haven't come to God. And the message to you this morning is come, come. And it's a message that deserves to be heard. Sometimes people muffle their messages. Sometimes we have no conviction in what we're saying. Sometimes we're a bit embarrassed in what we're communicating. That's not true of this person. He wants to be heard. This message deserves to be heard. In a way, he's like a man in the marketplace calling people to come and collect the goods. He's not a sort of Del Boy stall holder. He's not a shifty swindler. He has genuine goods and he wants people to enjoy them. And he's calling people to come. So he says, verse 1, ho. He says in verse 2, listen diligently to me. He says in verse 3, incline your ear. He says elsewhere in verse 3, hear. This is a message to be heard. This is not an embarrassing, muffling message from Isaiah 55. It is one to hear this morning. Now, I'm not looking this morning to explain the whole of the chapter, though it is a great chapter, and a more complete message would explain the whole chapter. It is related, and the later verses do explain further, and they back up and give reasons to the call that we have in the earlier verses. But especially this morning, I want to home in on the invitation as it comes out at the start of the chapter and then in the middle of the chapter. And I'm going to look at it in four ways. I'm going to hear it in four ways. Here's the first. Come thirsty. Come thirsty. I think it's an attractive start, don't you? Verse 1. Come everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come everyone who thirsts. The thirsty are those who feel a need. They're craving to be satisfied. The weather's warming up a little bit, isn't it? And the sun's been out, which has been nice. Maybe you've got a bit of an inkling of this. You've done something busy in the garden, or you've been out on quite a walk, and you're starting to develop a little bit of a thirst on a hot day. But we don't do that much, do we, in April in the UK? But you perhaps can think back to hot summers where the heat has been beating down and you felt parched. Or you can think back to your summer holidays in special places where you have felt really thirsty and can't wait to get some liquid inside you. Well, thirst is a picture of a feeling a need for what God alone can give here. It is a feeling a need from what God alone can give. Life, true life. Purpose, real purpose. Peace, deep peace. Joy, lasting joy. Love, wholesome, committed love. Knowing Him, experiencing forgiveness, being right with Him, proper security, a real sense of belonging. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for those things? This was addressed to the people in Isaiah's day, and they'd got themselves into a right mess by the way in which they'd lived their lives, by the way in which they'd lived as a nation, the way in which they were forsaking God and the trouble it was leading them into. And some of them knew it. And this appealed to them. Come, everyone who thirsts. You know, some people don't seem to thirst. They're not interested. Perhaps, to be honest, that's more like that with you. Why is that you're not thirsty for these things? Why don't you feel your need for these things? Others do. And there's good news for you this morning in what we're looking at. Come thirsty. There was a very dramatic day in the life of Jesus. It was the last day after a special time of feasting called the Feast of the Tabernacles. Carrying water about had been quite a big part of the events. It always was as it carried on. And then at the end of that time, this happened. John 7 verse 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You know, there is satisfaction in Jesus. The thirsty find deep and lasting satisfaction in Jesus. If you are thirsty, come. Maybe you're thirsty because you've looked for satisfaction elsewhere and it's left you empty. In the desert, it's said, I haven't done too much desert travelling, but in the desert it's said that it's possible to get mirages, isn't it? So that's where you think you've got an oasis, you think you've got some water ahead, the sunlight plays tricks on the ground. And you might head to an area in your thirst and you get there and you find that there's nothing. It's empty. It doesn't deliver the goods. It's a bit like that in verse 2 here in Isaiah 55. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labour for that which does not satisfy? Have you been chasing life's mirages? You've been living it up with pleasure, but you're empty. You've been making work everything, but it's not satisfied. You've been pursuing your addictions, and it's left to nothing but difficulty. You've been putting everything about your life in the basket of a relationship. And it's been dropped and come cracking down. You've been thinking it was all about car. It was all about those holidays. It was all about that extension. It was all about getting more. And yet you realise that really it's a bag with holes in it. It's just gone through. It's a mirage. It's not satisfied. Well then, in your fresh realisation of thirst, unsatisfied thirst, I say, come to Jesus. For life, for joy, for peace, for forgiveness. Come thirsty. Come freely. Come freely. One of the big barriers to responding to an invitation is sometimes cost, isn't it? So you get invited to a special birthday celebration or outing. Or some sporting event, and you really like to go. It appeals to you, but you can't afford it. You haven't got the funds. You can't justify, perhaps, spending that sort of money. Or you've been on a summer hike, and you're really thirsty. You get to this village green, and there's a little village post office, and you so want to buy some drink, but you didn't bring any purse with you, and your Google wallet hasn't got any signal, and you can't afford it, and you don't get any of the refreshment that you want. Here, cost is not a problem. Here, cost is not a problem. Verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come freely. Come without cost. You don't need a big bank balance to come to God. You don't have to have a big moral bank balance to come to God. Stashed up with all sorts of admirable acts, praiseworthy lifestyles, you don't have to have a moral bank balance to come to God. Come freely. Come empty. Come skint. Come poor. One of the great come verses, we had it read, is in John 6. We read verse 35, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And then later, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. And that bread of life invitation is just after the feeding of the 5,000. And it set me thinking about it. But the feeding of the 5,000, you know of it, and the hillside. They didn't have to pay a few coins, did they, for what was brought round to them? They didn't have to order it on some sort of food app and pay it with a credit card. No, Jesus distributed, and he distributed freely. And everyone was able to have some. And everyone was totally satisfied. And there was more than enough to go round. Come freely. Come freely. Are you being held back by feeling you need to pay? Esther and I have different approaches at market stalls when we go around Borough Market, one of these markets around, and a lot of them have these free samples, don't they, available. And I'm a bit reticent about free samples. I think, well, I've got no intention of buying any of their products. I can't really take one of those. I feel very embarrassed. And okay, maybe I'll take one if Esther passes it to me or something like that. But I'm just a bit backward about it. Well, Esther has no such reservations or hesitancy. If there's free samples, she'll take them. She'll enjoy them. She loves it. And what I want to say to you is, in terms of approaching God, be like Esther, not me. Don't be holding back thinking, I need to contribute, I'm not worth it, it's cheeky, it's there, go, take. It's offered freely without money and without price. So the wonderful produce, if you like, is free. But that doesn't mean it's cheap stuff. It's not junk food. It's not the scraps. It's not the leftovers. It's not what would go to the dogs. No, verse 1, come buy wine and milk. Verse 2, listen diligent to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Jesus gives life and he gives it more abundantly. Jesus conveys spiritual treasures. It is feast time, knowing God, finding relief, having salvation. These are great. This is a banquet available which we are invited to come to. And it's free. It's free to us. Now, I remember, it takes me back to economics when I did it at school. Maybe you've heard a phrase like this. There's no such thing as a free school meal. This is what they used to say. No such thing as a free school meal. That is, someone has to pay. Okay, the child maybe can go up and go through and there's no money to be passed on the card or whatever it is these days. But somebody else has to pay for it. The local authority has to pay for it, or some government grant has to pay for it. There's no such thing as a free school meal. Well, Isaiah's been going through things a bit like that a couple of chapters ago. He's been pointing to the coming of Jesus in a remarkable way in Isaiah 53. And here in Isaiah 53, he talks about the way in which the price has been paid. The suffering servant Jesus would come and he would bear the punishment for others. Verse 5 of that chapter. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And on the basis of what's been pointed forward to in Isaiah 53, we have the invitation of Isaiah 55, come without money and without price. So come because the price has been paid. You know, some receptions you go to, understandably, you have to pay for your drinks. You know, the hosts are not made of money, and it's a reasonable thing. But occasionally you go to some form of reception, and perhaps the hosts are particularly well off or feeling in a particularly generous mood, and you just go to the bar and you order what you want, and it's on some tab, but it's free to you. Somebody else is footing the bill. Jesus has paid the price for sinners. Price is paid so that it is offered freely to those who come. Come freely, come empty, come without being able to pay. It's Jesus who's being pointed to in verses 3 to 5. We won't stop there, but it's talking of David and pointing to the coming of a new David. I believe it's pointing to the coming of Jesus, who will be the leader of God's people, who people are encouraged to follow, where there will be a widespread, large ingathering of people following the new coming king. And we move on from there to verses 6 and 7, and I want to add two more things about the invitation. First, come guilty. Come guilty. Our chief need is that we are guilty. The people of Judah were, and you can read loads about that in the first 39 chapters of Isaiah. We have guilt. Our sinfulness is shown in our ways. The way we have lived. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. The way we conduct ourselves. The way we treat people. The way we have been as a parent. Or as a child. The way we have been as a friend. Or as a work colleague. The way we have been as a husband. Or the way we've been as a wife. Our ways have been wrong, been out of kilter with God's standards. But it goes deeper than just our ways. It's also our thoughts, verse 7, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And for you and I, we find that our thoughts have so often lacked love, haven't they? And our thoughts of love have lacked thankfulness. And our thoughts have lacked patience. And our thoughts have lacked reverence to God. And our thoughts have lacked faithfulness. Our thoughts have lacked gentleness. Don't you find as I'm going through these things, you think, yes, yes, it's been like that. And so we are guilty. And we need mercy. And we need compassion from God. We need pardon. We have a lot to be forgiven. And you think, well, can we come when this is true of us? Can I in my heart go to God expecting mercy when I've got all of that about my ways and my thoughts? And we read verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We can come guilty. God's mercy is greater than sin. Your sin. God's mercy is greater than your sin. With God, there is not just pardon, that would be a wonderful thing. He will abundantly pardon. There's an overflow in God's mercy to those who in the past have had wrong ways and wrong thoughts. But when you come, that's not the way you want it to stay. Those who come guilty also come in a repentant spirit. that's a part of what it is to come, is to come in faith and repentance. So read 7 again. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Have you come in this way? Leaving your own ways and thoughts, and instead pursuing God's ways and thoughts, which, as we're told, is higher than our ways, better than our ways. Getting drunk was the past, but it's not what you want for the future. Ignoring God was how you lived, but it is not now how you want to live. Telling lies was the previous pattern, but it is not what you're wanting to do for the future pattern. Living for self was the motto, really, of life, but it is not any longer, because you're coming guilty, but yes, repentant in your guilt. So do come. Come guilty. We've got one extra thing, and for that we're going to step back into verse 6. Now, let's put it as come quickly. Come quickly. Many invitations that you get have a time limit, don't they? You get a RSVP, respondez s'il vous plaît, by, and you get a date. It's a deadline. Maybe there's a special deal on the go. Maybe a new shop has opened up and they're wanting to sort of generate interest for future business. And anyone who comes in the first week gets a free coffee and cake. And if you go 10 days' time, you've missed out. The offer is finished. Some of the adverts used to have, didn't they? Hurry, offer ends, and you'd have a date by which you've got to get in order to get the deal. Well, there is an urgency to respond to God's invitation. There is an urgency. And so in verse 6 we have this: seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The offer ends, if I can put it like that. The offer ends when Christ comes again. It's final whistle time. It's judgment day time. The offer ends when our life comes to an end, and we don't know when that will be. In some ways, that the offer almost seems to fade as we disregard what God says and moves on, and it's as if the opportunity seems to be increasingly remote. And if we don't come, we don't receive the offer, if we don't find forgiveness, we suffer the consequences of unforgiven sin. We suffer what it is to have an unrepentant heart facing God and his just dealings with us forever. So the call is, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It is in 2 Corinthians 6, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So can I ask, have you left off coming? You thought, I'll leave that till later, when I'm a bit older, when I've left college, when I've had chance to have a bit of a fling and some freedom, when life has settled down. At the minute, other things are just too important. And it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seize the opportunity. Come quickly. Come promptly. Come urgently. And so we have this message this morning, and we have this invitation this morning. And I just want us to think, how are we going to respond in closing? I know we live in a paperless environment, or we're supposed to, but here, anyway, here's a paper-based illustration, but maybe it helps. Some of us have trays on our desks, don't we? And when stuff comes in through the mail or is passed on to us, it goes in the in tray. I've got this set of trays on my desk, so I've got an in tray. And so that's like a message coming in, and it needs some to look at and decide what to do with. So this message has come to you this morning. It needs some thought. Are you going to have to hear about this message from God? How are you going to react? It's in your in tray. And you can do some different things with these bits of paper. You can say, well, that's rubbish. That's going to go in the bin. Or, being a little bit more green, it's going to go in the recycling caddy. And I don't need any of that. And we get quite a lot of junk mail, don't we? And it goes in the bin. And it doesn't get any more attention. And maybe that's what you think this morning. Let this chap shut up at the front and let's move on. It's in the bin, in the recycling. I have a tray on my desk and it's got pending. Pending. So that means sort of, I'll get round to it. Yeah, and it's not going in the bin, but nothing's much happening yet. It's going in the pending. Oh, there's another tray, which is action, or it's sort of sister tray, if you like, even better, urgent. And that's something you grab, you deal with, prioritises above other things. Other things get pushed to the side. You don't want things building up in that tray. That is what is the focus and must be done. And as you've received this invitation again from God this morning, Is it pending? We'll see. Or are you going to go away from here, and if you haven't already, in your heart, with confession and faith, come to God? Am I going to come back, God willing, in 2.5 months, and it's still in your pending tray? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So the wonderful invitation, the message have come from God here in Isaiah 55. Well, let's just have we had some moments quiet at the start, which was really helpful. Let's just have a moment's quiet before we sing our last song. So I'll just allow you to pray personally before we sing. Well, let's move then to our last song. Our last song is a song, a hymn that's helped many of us at different points and might be a help to you this morning if you're feeling this need to come. It might give you some expression which you can go along with in your own heart. Just as I am, without one plea, but that you died to set me free, and at your bidding come to me. O Lamb of God, that's Jesus, O Lamb of God, I come. Thank you. Instead of a closing prayer, I'm going to give a closing verse. It's from the very last chapter of the Bible. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price.